I'll tell you what, there's two other things that I would like to preach to you, but I don't think the Lord's going to let me. And I don't have any notes on this. It's just something that the Lord's kind of put on my heart, and I believe that's what He had me to preach tonight, so I'm just going to have to trust Him on that. But if I had my way, I'd preach one or two other things. But if you would turn with me to the book of Ruth. Book of Ruth tonight. And in chapter 1, Ruth chapter 1, no doubt a very rich passage of Scripture. Ruth chapter 1. And we'll read a few verses here. Ruth chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited His people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and to her and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You, God, for a good day. Lord, I thank You, God, for a book. Lord, I thank You for Your Word. And Lord, God, we come to You tonight, and Lord, I sure do need Your help. Lord, I just pray that You'd help me to preach. Lord, I pray that You'd get me out of the way. And Lord, that You would speak through me. And God, give these people, Lord, what they need to hear. And Lord, we just thank You for being so good to us, Lord. We've got it so good here. And Lord, we've got so much to be thankful for. But Lord, we just thank You, God, for Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, it sure is good to be saved. And Lord, most of all, I just want to let You know tonight that we sure do love You. And we ask these things in Your name. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Ruth, in verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land." And if you look over probably the next page there, Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, the Bible says, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And I believe that's about where we're at. Everybody's just doing what's right in their own eyes. They don't consider what this book has to say about right and wrong. Nowadays, if you want something to be right, that's wrong, you just have to think it's right. It just has to be your opinion. And nobody's going to say anything about it because they'll be afraid to, that they'll be infringing on your rights and that type of thing. But there's a place here and a time where everybody's doing that which was right in their own eyes. And it says there, when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. And it says here, "A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab." And in Ruth chapter 1, there's so many things to preach about. You could preach about the fact that the judges ruled and everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. You could preach about this certain man named Elimelech and how he went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He went to just sojourn. He was just there temporarily. And then you read down in verse 4 that about 10 years later, his wife finally leaves that place, and so it became an extended stay. We could talk about how he wasn't supposed to be in Moab. Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 23. Deuteronomy chapter 23, turn over there with me. I have to turn over there with you. Because I'm in 32, not 23. Chapter 23, and look in verses 3. Deuteronomy 23, and we'll pick it up in verse 3. It says, "An Ammonite or a Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to their tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way, when you came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all thy days forever." The Bible says right there they had no business in Moab. Chapter 1, there's a famine. They're moving to Moab. And the Bible says don't seek their peace and don't seek their prosperity. He said just stay away from those folks. And here Elimelech takes his wife and his two boys into the country of Moab. We know that Moab is a type of the flesh in the Bible. And the thing about that, you could preach on, you give the flesh an inch and it'd take a mile. And the consequences of that, Elimelech winds up dying. His two sons wind up dying. And here Naomi is. She's left with her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. And you could talk a lot about Ruth tonight out of the book of Ruth. And there's a lot of little girls running around with the name of Ruth, but you don't hear of many Orpahs. You don't hear of a lot of little girl named running around named Orpah. And you hear a lot about Ruth. The Bible says over there about Ruth that she was everyone knew that she was a virtuous woman. Everybody knew her reputation. We could talk about down there in the rest of the chapter how her devotion to her mother-in-law and all those things. But the thing I want to point out to you tonight is down there in verse 6, it says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." You know what it says right there? That she heard. She heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Somebody had to go down there and tell them. Here Naomi is, she's lost her husband, she's lost her two boys, and she tells you in the end of the verse there, verse 13, it says that she's saying, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And she realizes that the Lord has done those things. But she heard, and in verse 6 you read the word return, in verse 7 you read the word return. And she begins to plan on returning, but it all started because she heard. And I read it earlier. Turn over to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 with me, please. Won't be very long at all here tonight. Just have something on my heart I'd like to get across to you. Romans chapter 10. And in verse 13 it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Do we still believe that? We still believe whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" It goes on to say, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." And as I mentioned earlier, again, there's a lot of hows in that verse, a lot of question marks. And Naomi was down there in the country of Moab. She was out of the will of God, if you will. And she had lost everything that was near and dear to her, her husband, her two sons. She's left with her two daughters-in-laws, and she's trying to encourage them to go back to their houses, to their mothers. And the Bible says that Orpah kissed her. It says, but Ruth clave unto her. And again, you could preach on a lot of things in the book of Ruth. You know, that Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ with a kiss, did he not? And Orpah kisses her mother-in-law, but says that Ruth clave unto her. But that's not my point. The point is that she heard over in Moab how that the Lord had visited His people and given them bread. And Romans 10:14 says, How shall they hear without a preacher? And I want to tell you, give you a little bit of a story, a testimony, or I don't know what to call it, but being on deputation, we've been in a lot of places, been in a lot of states, been in a lot of towns, a lot of cities. And this past July, we spent about 6 weeks in Picayune, Mississippi. And we would have to be in Mississippi in July. I'm telling you, it was hot. But there was a church down there was needing some help. They moved from their old little storefront building, and they were working on remodeling a building. And that pastor knew my pastor, and it worked out to where he got me some names, and I booked some meetings in his area. And so I worked on their building for about 6 weeks during the week, and then on Sundays I'd go to my meetings. And it worked out where I could help them and all that. So it was a good situation. But I had a Sunday night that I didn't have a meeting. And so this pastor, Brother Jeremy is his name, he was doing a chalk talk. And I kind of like chalk talks. That's kind of the thing that got me into church, was watching one of those deals where a preacher draws and he preaches. And I thought, man, this is going to be good. You know, I was excited. I didn't have a meeting, you know. And so I'm sitting there, and they've got the lights down, and he's got the lights up here on his board, and he's, you know, drawing away. And in the back door walks a girl, and she sits down across the pew from me, and you could tell she's been crying. You could smell her. She smelled real bad, and you could tell that she just hadn't been cleaned up in a little while. And you could smell the beer and the alcohol on her, and she just looked real rough. And I looked over there at her, and she looked my way, and I looked at her for about 3 seconds. And I'm telling you, I thought, this girl came for some help. I didn't know who she was. It was kind of dark. I thought, well, maybe it's a church member, you know. Maybe she'd been out of church, and, you know, maybe she just come in. I didn't know. I'm just a missionary, you know. I don't know the whole church, and just there temporarily, kind of. And this girl comes in, and I'm thinking, she's not going to last 5 seconds in this preaching. And two, 3 minutes later, she grabbed her purse, and she got up and walked out. And as soon as she did, I grabbed my Bible, and I went out behind her. And I stopped her. I said, hey, where are you going? And she stopped, and she began to cry, and she began to tell me what was going on. And this young lady's name was Tanya. And Tanya had tried to kill herself. She tried to hang herself. And she had told me that she drank 2 bottles of liquor, tried to hang herself, and she couldn't do it. So she went up to the liquor store on the corner, was going to get some more, and try to go back home and finish the job. And she just she saw a little Baptist church there with the lights on, and thought she'd stop in and apologize to God, is what she told me. And so I followed her out, began to talk to her, and she showed me a suicide letter that she had written. And I'll never forget the very top of that thing. It said, I'm lost. I don't know who I am. And she went on down through there and was talking about all her problems and all these things. And I'm convinced this girl was just full of the devil. She kept telling me about these voices that she was hearing and these things that she was seeing. And that's what drugs and alcohol and sin will do to you. Sin will wreck your life. And this girl was at the very bottom. She had, you could see the scars and the cuts where she'd tried to cut her wrist. She had needle tracks in her arms. And I've seen a lot of rough folks down there in the jail and in the juvenile prison and all back home and folks on the street. But she was by far the worst. And I began to talk with her. And as a preacher, I felt terrible because I felt like I had nothing to give her. I don't know if you've ever witnessed to anybody where you witness to them and you say, you give them a verse or you say something and they respond and the Lord will give you something else. And the Lord will just kind of help you witness and talk to folks. And I didn't have any of that. I didn't know what to tell the girl. I was just praying that I could hold her up till Brother Jeremy got preaching. And when he got out there, I thought, maybe he can help this girl, you know. He got out there and he ran into the same problem I had. And I don't know what that was. I figured later, the Lord didn't want us to say anything. She was too intoxicated to comprehend anything we were saying or doing. And that night we got a Bible in that girl's hand. And we got her, we forgot to get her address and her phone number to check on her. And I chased her a block down the road. I ran down the road a block to catch up with her. And I got her address. She couldn't even hardly tell me. She said, I don't know her. She said, it's 202 or 204 or something like that. And she told me the street. Didn't even know where she lived. It wasn't her house. She was just staying there, kind of passing through. And we went to visit her the next day. And about, I guess it was probably 8:30 or 9 o'clock before we got around to it. We'd been working on that building all day. And I told Brother Jeremy, I said, we need to go check on that girl. We need to go check on that girl. We need to go find that girl. And finally, 8, 9 o'clock rolled around. He said, we need to go check on that girl. And I said, well, I've been saying that all day, you know. And he said, well, I got to run to Home Depot and get some things and take some things back. He said, go with me to do that, and we'll go see if we can find her. And so we took care of all that. And we went to go off to go find her, and we prayed. We said, God, and we said, we don't know where this girl's at. We don't know if she'll be at this address, but God, please let us find her. And we pulled up to this place, and there's a 202, and there's a 204. And I thought, well, great. She said 202 or 204, and it was a duplex. And the lights were off on this one, and the lights were on that one. And so we prayed again. We said, God, please let us find this girl. We went up there, and we knocked on the door, and this man, Marvin was his name, answered the door. 55 years old, something like that, Vietnam veteran. And, I mean, he was just drunk as a skunk. I mean, he was just slurring his words, and you could smell him. And he was frying chicken. He answered the door, and I figured it was probably beer-battered chicken, you know. And he answered the door. He says, who are you, you know? And I said, well, we're preachers. We're here to see Tanya. Is this where she's at? He said, yeah, she's right in here. And he stepped back and opened that door, and she's sitting back there on the couch reading the Bible we'd give her the night before. Way I figure it, Lord just wanted us to get that Bible in her hands and just keep her mouth shut. And we said, she came to the door, and she was surprised to see us. And I know I'm just telling a story here. I'm going to get back to the Bible there in a minute, but I think this will help y'all. And we got her out there on the porch because Marvin, he had the TV and the radio and everything else that was going, just a big distraction in there. And so we got her out there on the front porch, and she sat down over there on a cinder block, and we began to open the Word of God and talk to this young lady. And she told us that she'd been sitting there reading that Bible since about lunchtime. And she told us that for the past 3 or 4 days, all she had eaten or drinking was pills or liquor. And so she told us about this little episode that she had, and she thought she was going to die. And I don't know if she was dehydrated or demon-possessed or something in between. I don't know. But she said she fell to the floor, and she felt cold, and she cried out. She remembered, she heard the story of Jonah and the whale. And she remembered how that Jonah cried out. And she cried out. She said, God, don't let me die. And I believe the Lord heard her because she woke up about 15, 20 minutes later. And The guy, Marvin, there was trying to give her some water. He didn't want to call the police because there's drugs and everything else in his house. So he's just going to let her die, you know, real good friend. And we're talking to her about this thing, and she said, God heard me. And she realized that God had heard her, and she immediately got up and got that Bible out. She turned to John chapter 1. And this girl's mind was messed up. And she told us, she said, I couldn't concentrate. She said, I've been reading John chapter 1 over and over and over. She'd been reading John chapter 1, the first chapter of John, over and over since about 12 or 1 o'clock that afternoon to about 9 or 10 that night. Been reading the book of the first chapter of John over and over. And so we began to talk to her, to witness to her. And this pastor, Brother Jeremy, was with me, and he talked for a while. And then I talked for a while, and the Lord was helping us. And this girl, she was in rough shape. She didn't believe that anybody cared about her. She didn't believe that God loved her. She believed that she was just too far gone. That's what she kept saying. I'm too far gone. Too far gone. She said, I've messed up too much. And I'm telling you, I'm thankful we've got a God that you just can't mess up too much. He's able to save unto the uttermost. Amen. And this girl wasn't too far gone, and we persuaded her, and we showed her scripture verse after scripture verse. And finally, we put this passage in her hand, and this Bible, this book right here. I gave her my Bible, and I said, Tanya, I said, could you read this out loud to me? And that young lady started reading in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And she started reading down through there, and we personalized it for her. I know you're not supposed to change the Bible and add words and all that stuff, but we said, we read it to her like this, that if Tanya shall confess with her mouth the Lord Jesus. We kind of did that for her, you know, made it real personal for her. And she got down there and she read that thing. And we'd read it to her that way, and you could tell the Lord was dealing with her. And I handed that to her, and she read that thing. And I'm telling you, the light just poured in. She read for whosoever, and she stopped. And she smiled. I'd not seen this girl smile until now. She smiled, and she said, that's me. She said, I'm a whosoever. And we said, that's right, Tanya, you know, and we're talking to her, and we tell her that, you know, all her problems and all those things. We said, Tanya, you just need to, I asked her, I said, Tanya, I said, why don't you just trust Jesus Christ? And she said, okay. And she began to pray, and I don't know what all was going on. I don't know much about the devil. I know a few things about him, but I don't know much about him. And I know the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, and I reckon the devil can live inside of somebody else. And we read about certain people in the Bible, but this girl began to pray, and something was going on. And she stopped, and she grabbed her head, and she said, those voices won't go away. And by the way, we persuaded her she was going to kill herself. I said, Tanya, I said, if you kill yourself, them voices aren't going away. I said, that stuff you're seeing and hearing, I said, that's not just, I said, that's the real deal. I said, you're seeing reality. I said, if you kill yourself, you're going to die and go to hell, to a place where you'll burn forever and ever. And you'll hear those voices, you'll hear the screams of those people around you. And went in describing her, I said, suicide is not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. And that girl trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, she tried to pray and she stopped. And Brother Jeremy was all nervous, and I was kind of real nervous too. And he said, all right, here's what we're going to do. He said, I'm going to pray, and then Brother Heath, you pray. And I'm telling you, he prayed, and I'm telling you, both of us, we begged God to save that girl like I've never prayed for God to save anybody before in my life. Out there on that porch, and Tanya's sitting over here on a cinder block, and we're down there and we're praying. And we're weeping and we're crying, just asking God, begging God to save this girl. And he said, after Brother Heath prays, Tanya, I want you to pray. And that girl began to pray and called upon the name of the Lord. And she stopped, and she was sitting there with her eyes closed. And I'm looking at Brother Jeremy, and he's looking at her, and we're wondering what's going on. And she sighs a big sigh of relief. And she says, "He did it. He saved me." And I'm telling you, that girl's countenance changed. And I tell you what, I'm a big softie anymore. And I was weeping and crying, and Brother Jeremy was weeping and crying, and she's weeping and crying. And she's smiling, and she's so happy that the Lord had just saved her. And we said, "Danya," we said, "you see those stars out there? I mean, you could see every star up there in the sky. It was clear as could be." We said, "Tanya, you see those stars up there?" We said, "There's angels up there, and they're rejoicing. They're having a fit." I said, they're going nuts because you got saved." And I said, we told her the angels in heaven were rejoicing. And she just started laughing. She just started laughing. She was so happy she couldn't stop laughing. We went on to tell her about how that she pleased the Lord, and how that she could please the Lord, and how that He saved her and all that, and began to show her some things in the Bible. And that girl was different. And I'll never forget Tanya. Tanya was on her way to kill herself, stopped by a little Baptist church, little storefront Baptist church, probably wasn't 30 people in there. And God got a Bible in that girl's hand. We were able to use that verse over there, John chapter 1. Lord used that in a great way. He brought to remembrance that letter that I had read the day before. Started off, it said, "I'm lost, I don't know who I am." And she read John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." And she read chapter 1 over and over. And I took her over there to Genesis chapter 1. I said, "Tanya," I said, "God made you." And I took her over there where it says that God said, "Let us make man in our image." And I began to explain to her that God has three parts, and God made her with three parts, a body and a mind and a soul, and started explaining all these things to her, and she was getting it. And the Lord used that John chapter 1 that she'd been reading all day. And Tanya trusted Lord Jesus Christ on a cinder block in a little town called Picayune, Mississippi, in the middle of July last year. And you say, "Brother Heath, what in the world does that have to do with the Book of Ruth? And what in the world does that have to do with you going to Ethiopia? And what in the world does that have to do with us?" I tell you, it has everything to do with all of that. We read about a lady named Naomi over there in Moab, type of the flesh, been there for 10 years, still in Moab. And she heard how the Lord visited her people. Somebody went and told her. Tanya was on her way to kill herself. She was on her way back home to put the noose around her neck. And she stopped by a little Baptist church, and she heard. She got a hold of an old-fashioned King James Bible, and she read John chapter 1 over and over and over. And she got it. Monday night, she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to save her. You say, "Brother Heath, what's that got to do with us?" There's people out there who have never heard. They've never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. America is the fourth largest unchurched nation, the fourth largest unchurched population in the world, followed by China, India, and Indonesia. Then comes America, number four, the largest unchurched population in the world. You see, there's not Tanya's just in Picayune, Mississippi. And there's not Tanya's just in Carthage, Tennessee. And there's not Tanya's just in Cambridge, Ohio. But there's Tanya's in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. There's Tanya's all around the world that need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sad thing is there's no little storefront church or a little Bible-believing church on the corner for a Tanya in Ethiopia to walk past. There's no Bible-believing church in many of those countries where I see these missionaries' prayer letters. There's very few. Maybe that missionary may be the only one. Very few. And there's plenty of people who in your neighborhood who have never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our job as a church to get the gospel around the world. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Go ye." He sent the disciples out. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." That's the Great Commission. That's the job of the church, but that's also your job personally. How shall they hear without a preacher? You say, "Well, I'm not a preacher." You don't have to be a preacher for them to hear. You can open your mouth. You can let them know that you're a Christian. You can hand them a gospel tract. I heard about a fella. He was a soul winner. He got up in years and he couldn't get out and knock doors and that type of thing like he used to. And so he got a phone book out. He started calling up those numbers saying, "Hey, I'm so-and-so. I live in your community. And I'd just like to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ." Would go through the whole phone book and then go through the whole phone book again when he got done. You say, "Well, people probably just hung up on him." Maybe they did. But he was trying. He was trying. Any of y'all have a mailbox at home? Anybody have a mailbox? Everybody's got a mailbox. I know you do. And if you got a mailbox, you're getting junk mail, aren't you? You're getting that junk mail stuff they're trying to sell you stuff. That junk mail is an opportunity to get the gospel out. You know that? You see, they send you a little prepaid stamped envelope that they want you to send back to them with something filled out and some money or something. Well, that little envelope is a very handy tool for carrying a gospel tract to somebody that you'll never meet face to face. Whoever opens those letters, I guarantee you'll never meet them face to face. But you can put a gospel tract in there. I'm just telling you, you can do something. And I'm telling you that there are people out there who have not heard the gospel. That I don't know if that bothers you, but that bothers me that America is the fourth largest unchurched population in the world. That makes me kind of want to stay home and do something. I love America. And here I am, I'm going to Ethiopia. And my country, the land that I love, has turned her back on God and is the fourth largest unchurched population in the world. Folks, we got to do more to get the gospel out. How shall they hear? I encourage you tonight, maybe you come down here and pray. Maybe just go home and read Romans 10:14 and read it slow this time. Just don't breeze over it so fast. And see if the Lord do something to burden you about that fellow you work with or that neighbor next door or that relative that you have that you've not witnessed to. Or the folks in the phone book or the people who open the junk mail envelopes. I don't know. But something to get the gospel out. Something to get it out. How shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. Pastor, let you take over from here.